What time is it? It's podcast time.
Yes, now what a podcast it is today. We had a very big segment on our show today. We were talking about the breastfeeding mum at Arj Barker's, a comedy show that everyone has been talking about. They've been all over the news. Well, we were the first, and I'm going to say only show, to get both of them on the line. You're going to hear the first time Arj and the mum, Trish, speak and how that went down. That's all coming up, as well as how is $20,000 sound? If you want to win Alpha Bucks, we've got an answer that will get you that much closer to the cash.
Yeah, for Wednesday the 24th of April, that answer will drop for. That could be, win you the cash, like Fee said. If I could talk, enjoy the podcast. We'll pop up with that clue very soon.
Arden Homes create award-winning energy-efficient homes that are not only beautiful but improve the way you live. And for a limited time, enjoy up to $39,000 in bonus upgrades.
Live from the Fox Studios in South Melbourne. Fifi Box.
We make people feel good.
Brendan Favola.
Fishy, fishy, fishy.
Nick Cody.
Boo. Boring.
Our Melbourne's number one breakfast show.
Woo. Popular Melbourne radio host Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Fifi, Fev and Nick.
From Melbourne, Australia, Fifi, Fev and Nick.
We are the best city in the world.
Just love Melbourne.
It's the best.
Absolutely love it.
They are the best.
Live in Melbourne every day.
Wake up with Fifi, Fev and Nick.
These are becoming the biggest parties in Melbourne.
We've packed outdoors.
We did schoolies for the very first time.
Mary Warren, here is your statue of Brendan Favola.
Hey, it's Taylor Swift.
Hey, it's Ed Sheeran.
Margot Robbie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jack Black.
Great to meet you.
So good to have you back on the show and to come to Brekkie and the Burbs. Keith Lee. Yes, you just won $100,000. You just won Fox's golden ticket.
Is the secret
sound. The Foxes, Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Wake up with Fifi, Fev and Nick.
Oh, yes, it is. Your Tuesday. Hello, good morning. What's today, like a Thursday, if you have Thursday off?
Today's a Wednesday, bro.
Well.
Oh, no, don't. Can we not?
Don't trick everyone.
I can't do that.
It's Tuesday. And that's what it is.
Yeah, there we go. It's Tuesday.
And we got Thursday off. Great.
We got Thursday off. Yeah. Do you know what? I was driving on the weekend, thinking about how much I love our city and how amazing we are, and in terms of the rest of Australia. And I love how many public holidays we get.
Yeah.
Like, well done. And we haven't, you know, because at some stage then, you know, people start saying, no, we shouldn't have that holiday. We shouldn't have that holiday. No, we've stayed Aussie as in terms of public holidays.
Husey Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, and that means it's Husey Tuesday, and he joins us live, the one and only Dave Hughes.
Always great to be with you, legend. Saw Nick Cody on Saturday night, I think. He was having a big night.
Saw you two hanging out. Now, Husey, you, and I'm not surprised by this, because you manage to be everywhere and in every conversation. Now, the biggest story at the moment in the country is everyone talking about the baby at the comedy gig. Arj Barker's gig on the weekend, the newborn baby that he evicted from the premises. Now, the mum, Trish Ferranda, she has used you as an example of a comedian handling the situation better than Arj.
And we booked two comedy shows. One was Husey at the very beginning, and Husey was absolutely amazing. He heard her, she Googled in his show too, she was having a bit of a giggle, and he did a skit about her and his own kids. Yeah. And he moved on with his show like a true professional.
Oh, yeah, that was mad. That's a really good review from her.
She used the term
skit. I'm back on Arj's side.
Do you remember it, Husey? Do you remember a baby gurgling?
I do. I absolutely do. And, you know, funny, I heard about this story on Sunday when I rang Arj for something else, and he told me I'm about to get cancelled. And I said, why? He actually told me that, and he told me the story. I said, mate, this is great publicity for you. This is, you got to hope this blows up, because you're going to end up looking good out of this. So I was right there. But I had no idea how big this was going to be. This has been, but I've had people from all walks of life talking to me about it. It's crazy.
Do you agree with him?
Well, you know what? And I actually said before this became a story, and when he said he was going to get cancelled, I said, mate, I had a baby in my audience early on in my run this festival.
Yeah.
And I said I didn't kick the baby out because the baby quietened down. But if the baby had kept being loud, I would have probably kicked the baby out. So I did not know at that time that it was the same baby. Oh, so.
He must have put it to sleep.
This baby's just getting out and about.
Mate, I was saying in my show, get the baby on the boob, put the baby on the boob. I was saying, get the baby a triple vodka. So I was making jokes, but yeah, and you can make a few jokes and it's all good. But if the baby does keep like, you know, being loud over a long period of time, yeah, the baby needs to go. So,
did it in this case, because Hughie, this is great. You got firsthand from Arch himself the day after it happened. What did he say to you in that conversation?
Well, he said that he was talked about the fact the baby was messing with his timing, and I'm like, yeah, I get that. So, yeah. So, and then Arge, as Nick probably knows really well, Arge is a very particular comedian.
Yes.
He's not really an off-the-cuff comedian. He writes his jokes and he gets them out there and he doesn't need distractions because Arge is a...
And he's great. But Hughie, the other thing, Arge doesn't have kids. I think if you have kids... I've had babies in my show. I had my own baby kickoff in my show. Occasionally, there's going to be a baby and you know what's going to happen. I think someone without kids might...
Because I want to ask you both this. Now, you've explained it probably, Hughie. He's a different kind of comedian. Because I thought that's part of your skill set. You've got hecklers, sure. No. Yeah, I know, but the back is worse than a baby.
But if a guy is drunk and he will not shut up over a long period of time, you want him out. And, you know, almost the best heckle response is security and then point to the person. Yeah. So,
I used to get that at, like, nightclubs and stuff.
Well, that's different. Everyone. Yeah,
but Fev would not. You would understand. You could yell out a couple of times in a show, and then and people get a laugh with you. But you would shut up over a long period of time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yes? Eventually you'd be quiet. Someone would probably shut me up for me. Just whack. But I reckon it'd put you off. But
of course,
I think you got to. I don't know.
Nah.
It's a job.
If the baby's making noise. No. The job is to present the stuff you've been working on for all the people that have paid. The baby and the mum, I don't care. If it's making too much noise, you've got to go.
Imagine you're at a movie and there's a baby beside you that won't stop crying. You're at the cinema. You want that baby out, don't you? If it won't stop
You know
crying,
what it is, Hughie? But... It's because everyone's been funny once in their life, so they think they can do stand-up, but in the moment, they would melt. There's a reason there's a handful of people that do it for a job. It's because it's very hard to do. And if someone's wrecking it, get out.
Has there been an independent bystander? Because we've got her side of the story and we've got Arge's side of the story. Are there any people coming
mixed.
Out? I've not heard.
I think the issue, and I'm not sure I wasn't there, but he sort of said this, but I think because other blokes were saying, get out, and they were doing it probably too loudly and aggressively, and maybe and she felt unsafe. So maybe I think that may be why this became a story. But it's just, you know what, perfect storm for Arge, I believe. He'll sell tickets. It's good for him.
Is it the end of the comedy festival, though?
Yeah, but his tour. He'll still have a great tour.
His next year's show will be called Baby Crying or Cry Baby or something.
Well, that's what I said to him. I said, mate, this is great material
Cry Baby,
for you.
Perfect.
And he said, I don't want to use this as my material. I said, mate, you're going to
have to. He might have to. He might have to get another gig. How would you go over, like, because I'm planes when babies cry. It doesn't bother me. You can't kick a baby off a plane.
The pilot can't hear it. If the pilot could hear it, the pilot, you know.
If you've already had children and a baby's crying on a plane, you're just glad it's not your baby. And that's what I say to people who have crying babies. So we're all just happy it's not ours. So, you know, when it's your baby, it's so stressful on a plane, isn't it? You're like, you'd do anything to shut your baby up. Yeah, I know, but you got to get the dose right, mate, though. So it's like, you get it wrong, it's like you've given
one
a mess or something.
You, three Temazepans for dad.
Yeezy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good on you, legends.
101.9 The Fox.
Been receiving heaps of calls lately about our Fox private investigator and the case that was on air last week.
Hi, I'm just wondering what happened with Fifi, Fev and Mick's catching, if you can.
I thought I missed it, but it wasn't in the podcast on the listener app either.
I was just getting really into it and then it disappeared.
Yeah, an update for you right now.
Yes, we know how much you love catch. Oh,
sorry. Fifi, Fev and Mick's. Catch them if you can.
seasoned radio professional.
Stop talking if you can.
You can. We know, Melbourne, how much you love this. It gets the biggest downloads for people wanting to catch up, wanting to hear the cases. And that's the thing about this. It's a service that we provide listeners. Cost of living is really tough. And private investigators are very expensive. They do surveillance. And sometimes there are things in your life where you require, I guess, an answer, whether it's spouses you think are cheating, businesses, families, all sorts of things can go on. And you're like, I'd love to get the expertise of a private investigator. So we've got the Fox Bureau of Investigation, and it is that they're open all the time. So you can send us a DM, email us if you do have a case you want us to get on. And we were on a case last week, and the most unexpected thing happened. Now, I want to remind you, everybody stays anonymous. There is absolutely no way to identify people. We use voice disguises, aliases. But we had our client, Tim. Now, Tim had been with his partner, a female partner, for a long time, and yet she had just had a lifestyle change. She'd lost a lot of weight in the last 12 months. She had started going to the gym all the time, and he was sus that maybe something was going on with her personal trainer.
She started going to the gym last year, and the gym has taken over her life in the last year.
Is it true that you might be a bit sus on her personal trainer?
Oh,
yeah.
Is she doing girls weekends?
Yeah.
Do you speak to her when she's away, or does she just keep her phone? Like, are you going to, is she going to like retreats?
No, it's almost like, it's almost like radio silence. But that, if, you know, if that had been across the whole group of girls, like, you just don't see anything on social media, you go,
that's interesting. Yeah, there were some red flags. But, you know, and I was thinking when we were talking to Tim, don't even need a PI for this. Mm. If your partner's going away for a weekend and not contacting you, it's sus.
Something fishy, yeah.
Then we spoke to our private investigator who was on the case.
The target did go to the gyms. There was interaction with the trainer. I believe is the name. But no more with the target than anyone else at the gym. So there was plenty of people there. He was sharing his time fairly equally.
So first day of surveillance, the PI said, yeah, but didn't seem to be anything sus. And then when we spoke to the client was sus about something that his partner was about to be doing. She had an after-work meeting. Now, we know that, Tim, that your partner has a work meeting tonight.
Yeah, it's just an odd one tonight, especially because these, how many meetings do you normally have?
What does she do for a job, Tim?
Marketing, works 9-5, like these outside of, which is not like she's a nurse.
Yeah, so it'd be strange to be having marketing meetings at night time.
It's really odd, yeah.
Okay, so there we were. We were the PI was on the case, but something very unexpected happened. It's definitely deviated our case, and we had to put it on pause for a few days. Darcy, our beautiful, wonderful producer. You've had a busy morning behind the scenes.
Very busy morning. I'm a bit frazzled.
dealing with a lot. But you were contacted by somebody.
Yeah, so we had a call from a woman who said this story sounded very familiar to her. And even with the voice disguiser, she had a strong feeling that it was her partner. And that made her a bit concerned. So we did our due diligence and hooked them up. It turns out it was, in fact, the woman. So we've now left it to them to decide what they want to do.
So I guess there were a few clues. Wow. I guess if you were, admittedly, our client, Tim, fan of the show, fair chance his partner was a fan of the show too, lost a bit of weight, had a personal trainer, had a marketing meeting that night and thought, is this me? Now,
guilty.
Well, very interesting.
Guilty of what?
Exactly. He's just saying guilty. He knows nothing.
No, I'm saying guilty because she thought it was her. Like, why would she think that was her?
Oh, you think that.
That's what I mean. Like, she's obviously thinking, oh, God.
Wait for it, guys. They obviously, this has brought a lot of the suspicions to the surface. And our client, Tim, alias, and his partner, Nicole, alias, have had conversations behind the scenes now. And Nicole would now like to come on the show to tell her side of the story.
Oh,
so tomorrow on the show, We are going to speak. This is the first time this happened.
Yeah.
In Catch Me If You Can, usually the partner never finds out that they've been there's been surveillance and the partner has been sus on them. But it's the right of reply. We're going to hear from Nicole tomorrow on the show, and there is a big development in their relationship.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Hello, Fifi Fevenick. We are your number one breakfast show.
The biggest news story in the country. Everyone's talking about the mum with the baby at Arj Barker's show for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And the one man everybody's been wanting to hear from is Arj himself, and he's joining us now. Welcome, Arj.
Oh, hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, this is, they say it's the second biggest hush trial in the world right now.
Arj.
Argy Bargy.
It is actually the biggest Argy Bargy. And I heard you say, and I just love it. You Curb Your Enthusiasm ended last week, but you literally are living a Larry David plot line at the moment.
Yeah, the joke works better when I do it. But yeah, I did say that. And
you're coming for me now.
It's been weird. It's been intense. But you know, I want to go on the record and say that for the starters, I don't have anything against babies. I was a baby once for nearly 2 years. And then again in my mid-30s in Amsterdam, but that was a misunderstanding. This was an unfortunate situation, but the thing, and part of the reason I'm doing as much radio as I can this morning, I am really grateful that you give me a chance, is I want to set the record straight on a few things that have been rampantly reported that are simply untrue. Whether she was breastfeeding or not is not something I could know. And I know Nick, at least you know that. When you're on stage in a theater, looking into the audience, it's like looking into a dark room while someone shines a flashlight in your face. You can't see details like that. I can see silhouettes. I could see what looked like a woman holding a child on her, you know, and that's all I could see. And I honestly could care less if she was breastfeeding anywhere. I'm pro public breastfeeding. It's natural. Kids got to eat. I got no problem with that. But it's not part of this story. If that was a father holding a baby, I would have done nothing differently. So I'm making the rounds because I'm, you know, I've kind of got a fire. Yesterday I was like in shock. I got to be honest. But today I feel like, you know, I want to have my say because in a way I feel like I'm being slandered. The idea that the suggestion that I did it because I couldn't focus. Again, Nick.
Of course.
I mean, you got to get my back on this one. Comedians 100%. Can focus through. We can focus through a lot of stuff. You've done Adelaide.
Yeah.
Right? You do a show in the garden. That's like the Olympics of focus, you know, over there in Adelaide.
Adelaide Fringe Festival, for those that don't know, if you perform in the gardens, you can be doing shows next to bands playing, circuses performing. There's a lot of noise, a lot of outside side noise. You've got to lock in and focus and get the job done.
It'd be a bit different in a theater.
Absolutely.
It's quiet.
But this was a quiet theater. Mm. Where you can hear a pin drop, and it's, you know, it's a very theatrical setting, and I'm trying to perform my show to perfection, and it was about the audience is what I did this a fateful decision. It was about the audience's ability to be immersed in what I was saying and to enjoy the timing and the pauses and to enjoy the show, and that's purely why I did it.
Because we haven't actually heard what the baby did. Was it a babble? Sure. Was it a lot? Was it crying? Like, how much was going on?
Actually, it was a fair question. It was more like, it was basically talking. But the important point is, again, you can hear a pin drop in a theater of that caliber, and I'm on stage, and the baby is literally between me and a majority of the audience, and so it's going to distract you. It's like you're watching a movie and a phone goes off or a kid screams. You know that it takes you right out of it. And
of course.
So, you know, and comedy is the worst for that. You know, when you're really trying to, you know, get your points across and build up that tension, it only takes one little thing and suddenly your joke only got, you know, 20-30% of the laughs it should have got.
Now,
this was a decision made on behalf of the audience, and whether it was the right decision or not, I'll let you all decide, but that's why I did it.
Yeah. Now, Arj, I don't know if you've spoke to Trish since. I don't know if you want to, but she's actually called through. So we've got her on the other line.
Like a Jerry Springer.
Yeah. Are you there, Trish?
Yeah, I am, but I didn't realise I'd be speaking to Arj.
Yeah, actually, I got another interview right now. Hi, Trish. Nice to, how are you?
I've been better, Arj. How are you?
Well, listen, since I got you, I really want to, you know, get together with you and discuss selling the movie rights.
Yeah, I heard.
I think you can make a lot of money, but I'm going to run along. I'm going to talk to Husey. I might see you over there, Trish, but thanks, guys, for having me on the show.
Cheers, Arj.
See you, mate.
Bye. Well, there you go. Trish, you've got a movie.
Yeah, you've worked connected. Out all right.
Yeah, I'm not the kind of person that wants a movie, to be honest.
Oh. Now, Trish, thank you for joining us.
No worries.
I mean, you couldn't imagine what you're, I guess, woken up to yesterday morning. You are the top news story in the country.
That's scary, yeah.
And, I mean, we just heard from Arj, and, you know, what's interesting, Trish, I didn't get a chance to say this because Arj ran off, but... See, I thought, and Nick, you're here, that mm-hmm. comedians are used to hecklers. There's an environment where, you know, would a baby
used
put
to,
you off
mean.
That much? Because I've got to be honest, Trish, I, as a mum who has had small babies, being humiliated and asked to leave a theatre would be so distressing. I would find that really, really distressing. And I would have thought, back to the point that Arj didn't stick around long enough to make, but... It's on the person at the Athenaeum who let you and your baby in, Trish.
For sure.
But once you're in there, I think it is really...
It's neither of their faults.
I know, but
it's not Arj's fault and it's not Trish's fault. Trish has got a baby that's crying and that sucks, Trish. I'm a dad of...
She wasn't crying, but...
Oh, the gurgling and the chatting away, but yeah. Making the noise, of course. And yeah. Arj, I heard you in an interview say, if he could have just stepped off mic and... But it's his show. He's got to perform a show. There's 700 people there. That have paid to see his show. He's not in the role of...
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think...
Is you that know, that the baby? Get it out.
Yeah. You know what, guys? Look, you know, if anyone at any point had said she can't come in, I would have left. Can you get off it? No issue. And that's the four-year-old that I definitely would not bring. Yeah, if anyone had said you can't come in, that's no problem. You can't sit where you are, that's no problem. If Arj had have just for a second stepped off mic and said, do you mind leaving? It's disturbing me.
Trish, I can't. He's doing a show. He's in a live show. He's performing for...
I know
it's hard.
To be honest, it's hard to tell if he's joking. He's a comedian.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so that's difficult. But also what he did was he stood right in front of me and he used his mic and it was intimidating. He was... using his mic and his position on that stage to intimidate me. And then he threw it to the crowd to join in. And I don't think that was necessary. And he's got a mic. He needs to use it. He's performing a show. I get your point.
And Trish, that's just one more thing. Just to let you know, the only reason we use the mic in that situation is so people that aren't as close to the stage as you can hear what's going on.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a fair point. But it's how he said it, how he did it, and then how he stood and watched while we walked out, people abusing us and didn't say, hey, there's no need for that.
That's what, Trish, I'm with you. I'm with you on, here's the thing. This is what I think's happened here. A lot of people are debating whether or not you should have taken a baby to a comedy gig. Yep, fine. That's
everyone's
another
gonna
debate.
Everyone's going to have their own opinion. That's a separate issue.
I agree, but at the end of the day, Trish was there in a seat with her baby. Now, I think that that's something everyone had to roll with then. There were mistakes made that maybe the baby shouldn't have been there, maybe the baby shouldn't have been let in. But I don't believe you should have been publicly humiliated because I've had a baby and I've been in situations for whatever reason where I've been, whether it's a screaming baby on a train or a plane, I've been humiliated or made to feel sick. There's nothing worse. There's nothing you can do about that. That baby is attached to you.
Tokyo Subway.
So I don't like that you were humiliated. And
there was people yelling abuse. And for him to stand and not say anything, even if he was initially caught off guard, it just condones it. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, it just says that that's okay.
Trish,
that's why I'm speaking out, because it's not okay.
And I hate that people are trying to pick sides. I think you're right. Congrats. Yes. You got out of the house with a baby. That's bloody hard to do. And you got along to see a show at the comedy festival. Awesome. Arj is trying to do the show for the other 700 people. He's right to ask people to leave. I think you're both right. Anyone yelling at you on the way out, they're not on. That's no good.
Yeah. And I agree.
Everyone wants to pick sides, but you both are
in the everyone
right.
wants to pile on when someone's, you know, already in a bad position. And I just feel that's it's not a nice state of affairs. And if that's what society is like, it's a bit sad.
It is,
and scary.
I think, Trish, to that point that Nick's making, okay, you're right and Arj is right and everybody's got an opinion. And at the end of the day, you've both got great arguments in a debate. But I would say at the end of the day, Trish is a guest. She has paid money and she is a guest in that room. Do you humiliate a guest and have them walk out tail between their legs, being mocked and humiliated?
I think Arj was saying he wasn't humiliating. He just asked them to leave and then the other people have piled on.
I've got to be honest, I'm not a stand-up comedian. Suck it up. It's a baby babbling. Suck it up.
I get that he's saying it was polite, but if he thinks that what he did was polite, that's speaking to the very issue that I am trying to bring light to, because it's concerning if he feels that he was being polite in the way that he did that. And if he was polite, I would have been out of there. I would never have talked about it to anyone. I wouldn't have felt the need to.
And even Trish, you could sit there and maybe go as you, because I've had my kids in places and gone, oh, I don't know whether I should have brought them here. You can have that feeling inside, but then to have everybody look at you and go, yeah, duh. I don't like that. So yep. Trish.
And I don't mind the odd baby in a stand-up show because it's funny to swear in front of them.
Trish, thank you for joining us. It was nice to have a moment where you and I seemed to get along well. There was chemistry, I've got to be honest.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Trish. We've got Jenny from Paterson Lakes has called through. Hey, Jenny.
Hi, Fifi. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Jen. What are you thinking about all
good.
Of this?
I'm pretty angry about Arj's, I think, reaction as well on the radio just then. All he had to do was maybe just apologise if he did make her feel like that. I don't think that would have been too hard. And coming from someone who breastfed their babies and is a single mum, you don't get to go out much. You know, this is what's wrong with society. She has a right to go out. And
of course, Jenny.
Him to say it's distracting, he's okay then with men yelling out, get effed, get out of the show.
It's not what he said. That's not what he said. He asked them politely to leave.
No, I'm not saying
you. Oh, the other men.
Men in the audience.
Yeah, that's awful.
Why did he not call them out? He's okay sitting there and asking a baby to leave.
I don't know if you've
abusive men.
Jenny, I don't know if you've ever performed an hour of stand up at a sold out Athenaeum Theatre, but the stakes are quite high and there's a lot going on and you're trying to control a lot of things in that moment. So he would have just asked that, try to figure out, all right, how do I stitch this up, figure out how to keep the show going on. There are another 700 people here. It's not just about this woman and her baby. And if people were yelling out, maybe Arj didn't hear that. There's kerfuffle.
He's a Jenny. No, I'm with Jenny. And not only because he ran away from our show when he got confronted with Trish, but also had a crack at me. Like, I was just trying to retell his joke. I thought it was funny.
He really lent into you, didn't he?
Here's the thing. Everyone's job has difficulties. This is my thing.
Yeah.
You're grown men. You can handle a babbling in the crowd, can't you? It just seems, because I did read in, I didn't get a chance to tell him because he ran away, but I was going to say in his one of his online statements, he said there are delicacies with stand-up. Like, it was all very delicate. Oh, come on. It's stand-up comedy. There's a babbling baby. Get on with it.
It's ruining it for the other people around them.
But was it? It hadn't even got to that stage. Here's the thing. I believe that if that baby was screaming its head off and actually started crying, I think she would have left, because I've had babies.
Yeah, of course.
If a baby's in the way of anything, you get up and move. We've got Shell in Sandhurst. Oh, hi, Shell.
G'day, Shell.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Great. How are you?
Shell, are we wrapped? You've called. I'm not kidding. All morning I've said, we're hearing from Arj.
Yeah.
We're hearing from Trish the mum. It'd be great to hear from someone else who was in the room. And Shell, you were in the venue, the Athenaeum Theatre.
Yeah, literally sat two rows behind her, two people behind her, quite literally. She was sat in front of me and it was babbling and screaming out, not screaming, but a lot of babbling. And we could not hear Arj at all. And all of us were looking at each other and just going, can this baby? And I've got a 3-year-old myself. And I was really furious. I was ready to get out and tell the staff to get her to leave. And thankfully, Arj did that at that point and kicked her out. So well done to Arj. He handled it really well. He did make a joke of it. And if she got offended by that, that's on her. She shouldn't. I have not been out all year, and I paid for a babysitter, and it was my one night out, and I could not hear Arj at all, and all of us around her could not hear a thing.
So you
could not hear a thing.
And Shell, Arge, before we're saying is, you know, as stand-up comedians, you perform in venues sometimes where there's outside noise and things. You've got to battle with these. So for him to stop down and say, you've got to go, it means it's at a level that is so distracting to those around
also,
the person.
It needed, Shell, I'm so glad you called because it needed this context.
But Arge said, like, I knew that.
Yeah, but I know, but we were
as
going
as
with
it's
one
a news
person.
Story.
I'm hearing one person's perspective, the other person's perspective. Shell, hearing what you just said, well, it does sound like maybe Trish should have known, my baby is a bit much, I should leave. So in that context, Shell, I think absolutely that the right thing to do was to leave.
And the way I will defend Arj here is that my job is I am a first aid trainer. So I teach first aid all day, every day. I'm very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone's mobile phone goes off or someone starts talking over the top of me, I lose my flow and I lose my rhythm. And I'm only performing to 8, 15, 20 people. He's performing to that huge theatre there. And this baby was consistently gaggling, bubbling, on and on and on. Like, she just shouldn't have bought the baby, full stop. She ruined it for a good 50, 60 people that were sat around her, and I don't know how far that volume travelled, but it was definitely louder than she's making out on all these, the project and a current affair. I've watched all the interviews. It was annoying as hell. I would have walked out and asked for a refund because I couldn't hear anything, and Arj did really well. So she needs to just sit down and shut up.
Hey, Shell, Trish was saying when she walked out, she was getting abused. Is that true?
There was a few people that went, way, good, well done. Yep, there was. I didn't hear any swearing of what she's saying. I heard the odd comment of, shouldn't have bought your baby, or good, get out.
Yep.
But shouldn't have bought your baby.
Yeah, and I think that, look,
I don't think you can just walk in anywhere you want with a baby and go, I've got a baby, everyone cease operations, I'm holding a baby. There's 8 billion people.
And I agree with that.
You can't just bring them in.
I think
they're
appropriate places, and it was a show 15 plus, and it's clearly an adult venue. I don't disagree with any of that. I think that's right. The baby shouldn't have been there.
And my baby kicked off at the Corner Hotel. Nick Cody live at the Corner Hotel on YouTube. We've got a clip up on the socials. You know, babies kick off sometimes. It happens. But I think Arj did really well, and I know what sort of comic Arj is. He's definitely not abusing someone. It's just not in Arj's nature. He's not a yelling. You know, he does silly yelling as a part of his stand-up, but he's not an aggressive on the front
he's
foot.
He's not a spit the dummy
Shell,
sort of guy.
Shell, thank you for calling through because I do think it needed an objective third party who watched it. So we really appreciate that, Shell.
Thanks,
thank you
Shell.
For calling through.
Melbourne's 101.9 The Fox.
Well, you may have seen this story in the news from the UK. A family of 8. They are on the run because they have a rort. They go, and they do this a lot. They go to restaurants. They order the most expensive food. In fact, at a pub, they ordered T-bone steaks, $630 worth of food, and then they leave without paying. So they probably thought, as if other restaurants in other towns talk, and now the UK are looking for them. You'd think a family of 8 would be kind of easy to find.
Yeah.
And they're all on the CCTV with their faces.
There's
no one's wearing masks or balaclavas.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't be that hard to find.
Hungry after Arj kicked them out of a show.
But I do have a story to tell. And you may have heard it, Fev. We've been friends for a long time. The only time I ever did a runner, and it was more an attempted runner. I was 18 at the time, just got my car, my Mazda 121 Funtop. Was out at, if anyone's familiar with, so I used to work at Eastland, you know, the shopping centre in Ringwood. I was in Myer, and I would finish my shift on a Thursday night at 9. So I'd do the 6 p.m. to 9 shift. And then because I was living in Wonga Park and my friends were in Ringwood and Croydon, other than juice, there weren't really places to go. This is sort of back, we're talking mid, late 90s. It wasn't like you had cafes to go and hang out in. So we'd go and meet at Pizza Hut because it was a restaurant then. And we went to, if anyone knows this strip on Maroondah Highway, Ringwood, or more Croydon now, it was McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Sizzler at the time.
How did you not go to Sizzler?
The Holy Trinity.
Well, I think Pizza Hut was the only thing open. Oh. So we got to the Pizza Hut, go with my friend Beck, if she's listening, Beck Stambanis.
Full name, throw her under the bus. Yep.
Yeah.
Good start.
Kelly's sister-in-law, we work with Kel. So Beck and I met there. and we were having dinner, and we were the only people in the Pizza Hut because it's about 9:30 at night, and they're all cleaning out the back. So we go to stand at the counter to pay. So I was attempting to pay. Stood there, I reckon, 10 minutes. Nobody came to the counter. It was becoming rude. We were actually being ignored.
She tries to justify it.
No, it's true.
She's it was $6.95 all you can eat too.
Numerous friends with full names into the story and now putting it on the
Pizza Hut. Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, but it was like, and I think we were even saying, excuse me, no one came. Might have been whispering it. And I looked at Beck, I said, let's just go. Seriously, we're trying to pay and they don't want our money for the pizza. Fine. So we've sort of started backing away to the door. And I remember this moment looking at the CCTV going, oh, we're going to do this. So we're back into the door. And then we opened the door and I just looked at Beck and said, run. So we've just started running to my car. And in the adrenaline of that, because remember I had just previously a year before been a school captain. I was new to this sort of like fugitive gig.
Yeah.
So
the Hawaiian heist has got you all pumped up.
I've just gone, run. So we've run to my car, the little white Mazda 121 fun top. And then I've grabbed Beck and gone, duck, get under the car. So instead of getting in the car and driving off, I just said, get under the car and hide.
You didn't drive?
No.
I was picturing like an OJ white Bronco helicopter over the
didn't
top.
Didn't you see her on Crime Stoppers, dumbest criminals?
I was new to this runner thing. And I'll never forget we were lying there under the car.
You are new because it's runner. They try and escape.
And I'll never forget we were under the car and we could, from under the car, we could see the pizza. We could see the door open and then just watching these feet walking towards the car and just lying there knowing what was about to happen. And so the manager, she was a girl, probably a young girl, probably our age.
Yeah.
She just looked down at us lying under my car and going, are you going to come in and pay? Yeah. And then what I said? Just tricking.
Oh. What a criminal mastermind.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Time to give you an answer for Alpha Bugs if you're playing on the 24th of April at 8 a.m. The letter is the letter H. And the question is a kitchen item.
Hand towel.
Yes. Somebody gave that to you because it's the first thing written here. And you would never just say hand towel. Yes, Daniel?
He does not have it. No one gave it to him. It's actually impressive.
So every day you just happen to say the first word.
But how would I have
down.
It?
I don't know.
It just got given to you.
You don't even go, you don't hesitate.
It's actually quite hurtful that you don't think I can think that quick.
No, but I think on one occasion you're going to hesitate. But every day you say the very first word, then you spit it out like you knew it.
They just gave you the piece of paper.
Anyway, good luck with Alpha Bucks.
101.9 The Fox.
We're just talking about jobs. Now, there are jobs where people get paid money for really kind of doing nothing. And we're going to open the phones. 13, 10, 60. Do you make heaps for doing very little? Because share. There'd be people listening who are like, I want to know what that job is where you don't have to do much, but you get paid a lot. Now, this has come up because somebody on TikTok was interviewing people, asking them what job they did, just a bit of, I don't know, maybe they work for Seek.com. Very strange TikTok to just ask people about their jobs.
Yeah, I've seen them.
But this is what a Brisbane traffic controller said. Now, when I say traffic controller, I'm thinking the guy that has the stop start sign when there are traffic works.
What do you do and how much do you make?
Traffic controller in about 2K a week.
Yeah, how long did the course take and what did it involve?
Course normally takes about a day and it just involves learning about the system and the rules.
And is it like 8 hours a day, 5 days a week?
We do 11 hours here.
Ooh, long day.
It is a long day. So 1 day of training, like, you've got to be honest, that is great. Mm. 1 day of training, $2,000 per week. Traffic controllers can earn up to $200,000 a year if they work on union sites. And the bigger the site, the more money earned. It sounds like a great job. Mm. And if there are any traffic controllers listening, 13, 10, 60, can you tell us about it? Like, because is part of it, I'm wondering, danger money? Because they're standing in the road.
Yeah.
Mm.
Would that be the right? Like, yeah, to ask someone to stand in a road, you've got to pay them some
danger. And just standing out in the elements all day long.
On
rain,
your feet.
Hail, shine, on your feet. Cop and
they're
rain.
Often on their phone watching.
Because I wonder, remember we did a very secretive TV project last week and we were filming down near Docklands or South Bank, and there were some window washers that took a photo of us and then sent it to our Instagram page. By the way, shout out to them. That's what. But when I saw the photo, you could see the guy's legs dangling on a skyscraper. How much are they making? Like, I'm cute. Like, you couldn't.
Danger money.
They deserve every cent. But see, I think like neurosurgeons deserve that too. Like, you know, when you see like really wealthy surgeons. Yep.
Yes.
You are literally cutting people open and saving their lives.
Well, I said to you in the break, I think train drivers earn about 200 grand a year to drive a train, and our Prime Minister gets 200 grand a year.
Yeah, but the Prime Minister's
getting a bit more.
Yeah, he'd be getting free travel.
Yeah,
and,
but he's still. But he gets paid 200.
Look at our former Premier Dan Andrews. He's just hanging out with Lindsay Fox at his birthday party. Mm. He goes to Portsea Golf Club.
No, he doesn't go there. He's banned.
He's trying to. But I get that they get these government officials get their official salary, and then they get all the other stuff.
They get perks, but
love to get to the bottom of his perks. Mm. Now we've got John from Berwick. Hi, John.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
G'day. Good. John, are you making heaps of money, and what are you doing?
Yeah, I want to make more, though. I don't think it's ever enough, is it? No. I'm a fly-in, fly-out worker and FIFO.
Yep.
So I work in a gold mine. And, so I'm basically underground mining supervisor. So my job entails looking after all our underground operations. But it's generally what it boils down to in a nutshell is just driving it around in a four-wheel drive and being that babysitter, making sure everyone's following the regulations and stuff like that.
Good gig.
How much do you get?
$350 a year plus bonus.
Whoa.
Jeez, that's good.
Far out, John. So you've managed, because I love what you've done there, John, because the minute you said a mine, I'm thinking, yep, they deserve every cent to go down underground. Mm. But you're supervising, so you're just driving around on the outside.
Oh, I'm actually underground.
Oh, well, no, then you deserve that.
You know, look, quite honest with you, it is, it's testing, it's hard on your body and being away from your family and all that. So, look, it's not easy, but it's got its perks, 2 weeks away from home. And by the way, I only get paid, I work six months a year too to get that money.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. So you do two and two, John?
Do two and two, yeah. Correct.
Far out.
Jeez, how John, do you apply for that job?
Tell me, I've always wanted to know too, from someone who works in gold mines, because I'm a bit of a fan of gold. So if
you can't take it with you, mate.
Well, no, but I'm just wondering. So you're down there, you've got your pickaxe, you find a bit of gold, or is this like the gold rush?
Yeah, you're thinking
you're
Sovereign
thinking
Hill.
You're playing a
if you find a bit, John, could someone just could you just pocket it?
Professor,
hang on. Yeah. We're not in Raiders of the Lost Ark now.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
No, it's big machines.
It's actually in the rock, and you don't actually see it physically with the eye. It's like in the rock. It needs to be processed, so you can't just see it like just there because we're too deep underground for that.
Oh, sorry. I've been down in the mines in Sovereign Hill. I just thought
she thinks she's panning at Sovereign Hill, all dressed up in the old kit.
Being down the mine, she means the gift shop at Sovereign Hill.
Thank you. That's amazing. Well, you work hard for that money, John, but that is good coin. Kristen from Mernda. Hi, Kristen.
Hello.
Kristen, now we've got direct access to a traffic controller, your husband.
Yes, my hubby.
So what's he making, Kristen, if that's not too personal a question?
So he was traffic controlling for a long time, night shift on a union job. And he was on about 4,500 take-home.
Take-home? What does that mean? What's an annual?
Well, that's after tax.
Well, that's grand a month times 12. What's that?
Well, that's 18 grand after tax, so
annual.
Probably like 28.
Wow.
Yeah, he was paying whatever he was earning, that's what he was paying tax a week.
Kristen, now is do they explain why? Is it the danger money or is it because it's overnight?
Yes, it's night shift and it sounds like an easy job, which I thought too. I'm like, why are you leaving? Like it's 4,500 a week.
Yeah.
But you're staying in one spot. Sometimes there's no cars and there's no one to talk to for 12 hours. So it was a lot. It was really hard for him.
Mental anguish. I can see that.
And just ruining your body clock.
Yeah, literally. Well, I didn't mind, would you?
Because you're right, because to stand there, you can't even be on your phone, really. You can't distract your mind with anything.
No, he had headphones in. Like, he would have one of his, like, headphones.
Oh, yeah. Listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that was the only thing he could do. And because it was night shift, 12 hours alone most of the time, he's like, no, I've got to give it up.
Interesting. Mm. That's, there we go. Wow. And I love that, Kristen. You're going, why are you walking away from this?
Yeah.
All this cash. Thank you for sharing that. Meninda from Truganina. Hi, Meninda.
Morning. How are we?
Very well, Meninda. Now, what are you doing and what kind of cash are you getting for it?
All right. So I'm a Peggy on construction site. So Peggy is basically a cleaner, which, like, we maintain crib sheds and the toilets for people working on the site.
Mm.
So I can possibly get $60 an hour during the day, $150 an hour when we're doing night shift.
And
if we have to work in rain, then we get inclement weather, which is $180 an hour.
$180 an hour.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, mate, you must be flat. It's 24 and sunny today. Tomorrow's your day, Meninda.
So what do you make a year?
Oh, somewhere between 100 or 150,000.
Gee.
Good.
That is.
Good point.
100. That's amazing. You'd love winter. You'd want the wet weather.
How good's Melbourne?
Meninda,
that's right. Great insight. Mm. Thank you for sharing that.
I reckon that'd be hard work, though, being a cleaner.
Mm.
Cleaning, then standing there holding a stop sign.
And I wonder if it's raining for half the day, you only get in the 180 an hour half the day and then it goes back to 60? Or is it the whole shift?
Actually, yeah, do you have to go to the site manager and take the forecast, the Bureau of Meteorology stats?
Thank you for your calls this morning.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
Love does not always run smoothly, and everyone's got great tales of heartbreak. When I say great, they're not great in the moment, but
life is
a rich journey where you can look back and reflect on breakups and go, ha-ha, that was funny.
Fev's got an ex-wife now fiancé. That's one of my favourite sentences.
He's got eight ex-boyfriends that don't even know their boy ex yet.
Anyway, I'm bringing this up because a man has shared a story how he's heartbroken. I feel like reaching out to him and going, it's all good, don't worry, this will be a funny story one day.
It's already funny.
Yeah.
His girlfriend broke up with him, madly in love, and the reason she gave for breaking up with him was that she believes that they're incompatible on an astrological level.
Oh, absolutely dodged a bullet.
Is that space, like zodiacs and stuff?
No, she thinks that their planets just don't line up.
Oh.
So everything was going really well, and then she said, your planets don't align with mine, so I think we should end this. Now, he might be heartbroken now, but that's my point. This is a great bullet you dodged. Mm. It's funny. Yeah. And the thing is, I was thinking about it because, like, it's the pettiest reason to break up with someone. And we love, Melbourne, hearing your stories. Please share them. Pettiest reasons to break up with somebody. I'm going to say, if something, like, I would go down a few levels. I think she's just saying that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the real reason.
Do you reckon there's another bloke?
No.
Or she could just be cray-cray.
Like, I'm not. Yeah. Admittedly, I'm the wrong person to ask about this. I'm not really good at the breakup. Just avoid them generally.
Yeah.
But in my past, but I would definitely, I'm definitely of the theory, why hurt somebody with brutal honesty when you can just do it delicately?
Like, delicately?
Yeah.
You're not delicate. You walk away.
I live in Australia. See you later.
And they think you're still together.
Yeah, but you're referencing boyfriends from other countries I've had in the past. And while I get on the plane and I leave the country, in my mind, I'm like, well, it'd be great if it worked out. Probably won't.
Mm.
But it'd be great. Now, admittedly, they're more in the, I think I'm moving to Melbourne. And then when the one you're thinking of, he was an FBI agent. That is a cool job.
Yeah.
When he said to me, and I thought, okay, well, if he comes here, he can do
an
ASIO.
Female body inspector. Yeah.
Or the police force. Love to date a cop. And then when he said to me, I'm thinking about opening one of those hole-in-the-wall sandwich shops.
Glad
again,
you said sandwich shop.
Great. Oh. Great if you were a cafe owner or if that's your background.
Glory sandwiches.
But, mate, you're an FBI agent.
Yeah, stay there.
I want your gun and
why
your handcuffs.
Why are we making sandwiches? Yeah. I mean, you know, he sold himself very differently. Yeah.
Do you know how big hole-in-the-wall sandwich joints have become in Melbourne?
I agree. Yeah,
he would have made more money than an FBI agent.
But he wasn't a cook. He wasn't a chef. Yeah. If I was dating, I don't know, Gordon Ramsay, and he said, I'm going to open a sandwich shop, I go, babe, let's do this. Yeah. He was an FBI agent, former military man.
Opposites do attract, though, when this chick's saying that the planets don't align.
Didn't align.
But usually your partner, you've not really got much in common. Opposites attract. Well, opposites attract, and then that's how you draw to each other.
How do you sit and talk about on the couch if you've got nothing in common?
Because just say we're together. You know heaps more stuff than I know about stuff, and I probably know more stuff about this stuff. And that's how you chat, and you learn off each other.
But that's not like, opposites. That's just
It's opposite. I with Alex, I got nothing. We had nothing in common at all.
No, but opposites, I think, is more. You love outdoors traveling. You're not suited to someone who hates going outdoors, hates traveling. That's opposites. Just having had different life experiences and educating each other.
Yeah, but then I'd take you out. And I'd take you out on a trip and we'd live it up and you'd be like, oh my God, this is amazing. What have I been missing out on?
No, I'd be going, I told you, I hate going out. Why are we going out?
No, but then you'd go and you'd go, oh my God, wow, we're going to a sandwich shop.
And then I'd have
amazing.
To leave the country because this is it's too much. Dean's in, is it? No, he's gone.
Oh, they both broke out.
He broke up with us.
Oh, that's no. right. 13, 10, 60.
They all broke up with us.
Keep the phone calls coming.
Literally, as I said his name, he hung up on me.
Petty excuses for a breakup. If you've had one or know someone that's given one, give us a call. 13, 10, 60.
101.9 The Fox.
Heartbreak's never fun, but sometimes you get broken up with for the most ridiculous, petty reason. And a guy has been left heartbroken after his girlfriend broke up with him because their planets didn't line up. Now, as you said, Nick, I mean, really, he's dodged a bullet. He might not realize that right now, but that is the most stupid reason to break up with someone. Now, maybe this is you. Maybe it was somebody who dumped you. Hayley from Geelong. Hi, Hayley.
Hello. How you going?
Good, Hayley. How did you get broken up with or why?
So my boyfriend at the time broke up with me because I didn't read newspapers. And because I wasn't heavily into politics, so we didn't have anyone to chat to politics about.
Oh, yeah, wow. He sounds like an absolute loser anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then the worst part of that story is that we got back together about a month and a half later. I took him back, and so I started reading newspapers, didn't quite get into politics, and then he broke up with me again 18 months later.
Wow.
And did he say to you the second time? Really? Did he say the second time, I warned you, you didn't take up an interest in it, and now we're breaking up again?
No. And then, funnily enough, the discussion you were having earlier about the body parts, so I've got bunions on my feet, and he said that when he first met me, he wasn't sure he could date me because of my bunions.
Yeah, you'd be done.
This guy,
has he made up the politics thing, you think, Hayley? Mm.
I would have just walked out the door.
Fev's a foot man.
I'm a foot man.
I wouldn't care.
Hayley, you poor thing. That's you got bunions and oh, hang on, Darcy, our producer, is
whose laugh
on the
came
mic.
Through the soundproof.
Sorry, I was just telling Leon that I got dumped in high school the day before I got braces put on.
Oh. And did he say that to you?
He said, no, he didn't really have a reason, but it was very well timed.
Oh no! Braces, bunions. This isn't fair. Thank you, Hayley. Chad in Heatherton. Hi, Chad.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, Chad. Morning. Why did you get broken up with?
My girlfriend at the time dumped me because I wasn't good at Fortnite.
Video game?
Are you kidding me? Was she a gamer?
Yeah, she was.
And, yeah, Fortnite's hard. Well,
like, were you any good? Like, or were you like, how bad were you?
Well, I used to play at the time, and then I stopped during work mode when I started working. And then I met her at a pub, and then she invited me over. She had a whole other setup, and then I played, and I wasn't good, and she basically kicked me out.
And this is when you were adults?
Wow.
Like, this isn't teenage love?
Yep.
Whoa, that's brutal. Chad, have you gotten better at Fortnite?
No.
No, fair enough. Thank you for sharing that. Ridiculous. Lorna in Clyde. Hi, Lorna.
Hello.
Hey, Lorna, why were you dumped?
Because I wasn't a fan of his girl best friend. And turns out a few months later, they started hooking up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that old chestnut.
Yeah, that one.
Don't like that.
That one.
Did you feel that when you were together?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. It was always something that I was like, oh, I don't know if I trust you two in a room together when I walk out.
And you shouldn't have. Absolutely.
How long were you together, Lorna?
Sorry?
How long were you together?
Well, it wasn't long. It was probably about 2 years at that time.
Oh, yeah. That's a long time. Oh, Lorna. Did you get did you stay in touch? Like when he started dating the best friend, did you get your sort of like,
did you text him? Told you? Yeah.
No, it was complete radio silence from then after.
Are they still together?
I don't know now. No.
Yeah,
well, you dodged a bullet a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everyone here's dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
That's the positive.
Exactly. They have. I was thinking, that's not even petty, Lorna. That was absolutely valid.
Mm.
Like, that's not a petty reason. That's a very valid reason.
Melbourne's number one breakfast show. It's the Foxes, Fifi, Fev and Nick. Wake up with Fifi, Fev and Nick. On the Fox.